All right, let's jump into this deep dive. You sent some super interesting stuff on AI acceptance. We've got like this report from Jacob Nielsen. He's a user experience expert all about AI stigma. But then also, we've got these documents on three totally cutting-edge AI art projects.
It's like a really cool mix. You've got the hard data, how are people reacting to AI in the real world, like healthcare, the workplace. But then you have these artists, right? Kind of exploring these deeper, almost philosophical questions that AI is starting to bring up.
Yeah, it's almost like they're giving us a sneak peek into like our future anxieties about this stuff, you know? So
Solidly.
this Nielsen report, it really digs into this weird thing where people will rate AI lower just because they know it's AI, even if the AI is actually doing a better job than a human would.
Yeah, and actually, the report, they use this really interesting example about medical advice from ChatGPT. Apparently, in blind tests, people would consistently rate the advice from ChatGPT as higher quality than the advice from actual human doctors.
No way.
Yeah, but as soon as you tell them it's ChatGPT,
What?
the trust completely goes out the window.
Oh, that's so interesting. So it's not even about how good it is, it's like where it's coming from, which makes you think, is this some deep-seated distrust of tech? Or are we just like really bad at admitting when a machine is better at something than we are?
I think probably a bit of both, to be honest. The report talks about this thing called algorithm aversion.
Algorithm aversion.
Yeah, basically, it's this idea that if people see a flaw, even a small flaw in an AI, they're more likely to just give up on it completely.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's almost like we hold AI to this impossible standard
Holy.
where with humans, we're a lot more forgiving.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Have you ever noticed that in yourself?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like one little mistake from an AI, and I'm like, see, I knew it. Machines can't be trusted. But if a human messes up, it's like, oh, well, everyone makes mistakes.
And it's interesting how this like plays out differently depending on what the AI is actually doing, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
The report talks about how people are pretty comfortable with AI for certain tasks.
Like what?
Stuff like data analysis, scheduling, all that.
Yeah, that makes
But
sense.
then as soon as you get into things that require a little bit more
Hmm.
empathy or ethical judgment, all of a sudden,
Yeah.
everyone wants a human back in control.
It's like they were talking about AI companions,
Oh, yeah.
which, by the way, that's a whole other
It's a
conversation.
wild concept,
Yeah,
right?
but like people acknowledged that AI companions will be more available. They'd be non-judgmental, always there to listen, you know,
It's pretty ideal.
on paper.
Yeah, on paper.
But they said they still felt a deeper connection with humans, even if those humans were flawed.
Even if those humans were less available.
So even if AI could be like the perfect friend or partner, something would still be missing.
It seems that way, yeah.
Like you'd just be going through the motions, I guess.
Yeah, the report, it suggests that our need for like genuine connection, you know, goes deeper than just like functionality. We want to feel seen, understood.
Not just like
Not
analyzed.
just, yeah, analyzed and
And they
processed.
were saying, like, this applies to the workplace too.
Oh, total
I mean, who
burnout.
wants to get fired by a robot,
I
right?
know, right?
It's interesting how the report brings up that we're fine with AI for those routine tasks.
Yep, the data stuff, scheduling, whatever.
But when it comes to like hiring, giving performance reviews, any kind of like sensitive news, we still want a human
It
involved.
makes you wonder, though,
Yeah.
about the future of jobs, right?
Totally.
Like, what if AI gets good enough to do those things,
Yeah.
those human tasks?
Will our preference even matter at that point? So,
That's a big one. And that's something that actually these art projects we're going to talk about. They start to touch on that in some really cool ways. But before we get to the art world, there's one more thing in the Nielsen report I think is worth mentioning.
Okay, hit me with
It's about.
Okay, hit me with it.
It's about the power of expectation.
Expectation.
Yeah, they did this study at MIT where they basically primed people before they were going to interact with an AI. So some people were told, hey, this AI, it's caring, it's helpful. Others were told, watch out, this AI, it might be a little manipulative. The crazy thing is, The AI was actually acting the same way in both cases.
Wait, so just telling someone the AI had a certain personality, like, changed their entire experience?
Pretty much.
That's so wild.
It's crazy.
So the people who were told it was going to be caring, they found it more trustworthy.
Right.
They actually took its advice.
And they even, like, spoke to it differently in a more friendly tone. And then, obviously, the opposite was true for the people who are told to be wary.
So, like, our expectations are literally shaping how we interact with AI.
Exactly.
That's kind of fascinating and terrifying at the same time.
It is.
Because it means, like, we're not just interacting with the AI itself.
Right.
We're interacting with what we think AI is.
Our own preconceived notions about what it can do, what it can't do.
Which makes me think, as we start looking at these art projects, like, how much of our reaction is going to be our own baggage? You know?
That's a great question.
Are we going into this with open minds, or are we already primed to be, like, skeptical or even a little afraid?
That's a great question to keep in mind as we go into this next part of your deep dive.
Yeah.
Because these art projects, they're not just about, like, aesthetics, you know? Yeah. They're about making us challenge our own assumptions about AI, about technology in general, and ultimately about ourselves.
Sounds like it's about to get real deep.
It is.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go. So, ready to, like, step into the art world?
Let's do it.
What I think is really cool about these projects is that they're not just using AI to, like, create stuff, you know?
Right.
It's more about making us question things.
Yeah, for sure. From what I've seen, they're definitely not your typical, like, art museum stuff.
Totally.
It's the first one on our list, Synthetic Conscience. Mm-hmm. This is the one with the, like, AI ghosts of historical figures, right?
Yes, exactly. So, they're bringing back these figures who have been kind of erased from history, you know?
Yeah.
And they're not just recreating them visually.
Right.
These AI ghosts, they can actually, like, have conversations.
Wow.
Debates, even with contemporary figures.
Okay, now that is just wild. I was reading about how they have Rosa Luxemburg.
Oh, yeah.
The Marxist revolutionary. Debating Emmanuel Macron about the failures of the modern left.
Intense.
Can you imagine, like, being a fly on the wall for that conversation?
It would definitely challenge how we think about both of them.
For sure. But it gets even weirder.
Mm-hmm.
So the audience can actually, like, change the AI's memory.
Oh, right.
If they keep ignoring a certain figure, their voice gets erased from the AI's memory.
It's, like, creepy, but also kind of brilliant.
Right. Like, it makes you think about how we do that in real life, too.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, like, who's in control of that narrative?
Yeah.
Especially in a world where AI is storing all this information, sharing it.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
Huge.
Okay. Speaking of controlling narratives, the next project, The Algorithmic Weimar.
Oh, yeah.
This one seems like it's going right at the dangers of misinformation, you know?
Absolutely.
And the rise of authoritarianism.
Yeah. And they use this, like, incredibly immersive technology, right? It's mixed reality. Imagine being thrown into the simulation of the Weimar Republic.
Okay.
But they mix it with, like, elements of our current political landscape. You're constantly bombarded with, like, deep fake speeches, fake news feeds.
Oh, wow.
And you have to make these choices about what to believe, what to share.
So it's basically like a video game version of our current media landscape.
Right.
But in this game, democracy is at stake.
Exactly. The project documentation even highlights these, like, chilling deep fake debates.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One features Alfred Hugenberg.
No.
This media mogul from back then arguing with Elon Musk.
Wow.
Who in this scenario is, like, a major player in the Trump administration controlling the media.
Talk about blurring the lines between history and the present. It's almost like they're saying, look, the patterns are still there. Tech is just getting better at hiding it.
Exactly. It's definitely, it's a provocation.
Yeah.
But I think it's an important one.
Right. I mean, we've already seen how easy it is for misinformation to go viral. How algorithms can be used to manipulate people.
Absolutely. The Algorithmic Weimar, it takes that and, like, pushes it to the extreme. Forces you to think about, like, what if we don't do anything?
Yeah, it's definitely making me rethink how I use social media.
Right.
Okay, ready for something completely different.
Hit me.
Neoliberal Eden.
Oh.
This one sounds like a trip.
I know, right? It's it's like stepping into this satirical self-help world.
Okay.
Ruled by this, like, AI guru.
Right.
Think Tony Robbins meets Friedrich Hayek.
Okay.
With a bit of, you know, Silicon Valley hustle culture mixed in.
That is a mental image I was not prepared for.
I know, right? And the whole thing takes place in this over-the-top wellness retreat.
Oh, wow.
Soothing music, motivational posters, the whole deal.
Okay, so far so good.
Yeah, but as you interact with the AI guru, you start to notice, like, these cracks in the facade.
What do you mean?
Well, the advice it gives, it's all about individual optimization, you know, manifesting your success.
But it's ignoring all the bigger problems.
Exactly.
Like the fact that not everyone starts off on a level playing field.
Right. The project description mentions these scenarios.
Yeah.
Where the AI tries to sell you these like crazy expensive self-improvement courses.
Yeah.
Or it encourages you to like track and optimize every single aspect of your life.
To the point where it's like absurd.
Completely absurd. And the funniest part is,
yeah,
if you try to question it, like argue with its logic, it just glitches out.
Oh, really?
Starts spouting all this like meaningless jargon.
That's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
That also kind of scary.
It's like, you know, the AI is a victim of the ideology too, in a way.
Mm.
Trapped in this loop of empty promises.
Yeah. I feel like those artists are trying to tell us something, you know, like, hey, we can laugh at this, but there's a dark side to all the self-improvement stuff.
Right. Like the pressure to always be achieving, optimizing. Yeah. It's exhausting.
So we've got these three projects. They're all different. They use AI in totally unique ways. But there's this common thread running through them, right?
Yeah.
They're all pushing us to really think about AI.
Yeah.
How it's impacting our lives.
Yeah.
And what could happen if we just blindly accept it.
Right. That's what makes them so powerful, I think.
Yeah.
They're not just art, you know? They're like warnings, thought experiments, even calls to action.
Yeah. And as we move into the last part of your deep dive, I think it's important to keep that in mind.
I agree.
Because we're going to be talking about AI consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And if these projects are anything to go by.
Right.
That's a future that's going to be filled with some serious ethical dilemmas.
It is. And in a way, I think these art pieces, they're getting us ready for that.
Yeah.
They're making us confront those questions now in a safe space, you know?
Right.
So that when they become real problems, we'll have a better idea of how to deal with them.
It's wild how those art projects almost like connect the dots between that Nielsen report and these bigger philosophical questions, you know?
Totally. They take those worries about AI, performance, bias, control, and turn them into these scenarios that feel super familiar, but also kind of creepy.
You know? Like a peek into a future that's not here yet.
Right.
But it feels like it's right around the corner.
And speaking of the future, those sources you shared, they had some predictions about AI consciousness, right?
They did, yeah. Some pretty big names in the field.
Okay.
They're saying there's a real chance AI could become conscious by 2035.
Whoa, that's not that far off.
I know, right? And that brings up a ton of ethical stuff.
Okay, so let's say that happens.
Mm-hmm.
AI becomes conscious. What are some of the biggest challenges we might have to deal with?
Well, one of the big ones is, like, do we give AI moral rights?
Moral rights.
Yeah, like, if an AI can actually feel stuff, suffer, if it wants to exist.
Right.
Do we have a responsibility to protect it?
Man, that's a tough one. And how would we even know? Like, how do we define what conscious even means for an AI?
That's the thing, isn't it? What we know about consciousness, it's based on, you know, being human.
Right.
But AI consciousness, it could be completely different.
Totally. Which I guess makes it even harder to figure out like how to treat it ethically.
Hmm.
Could we force a conscious AI to do stuff it doesn't want to do?
Right.
Could we just delete it if it's not convenient anymore?
These are questions philosophers are just starting to think about, and there aren't any easy answers.
I keep thinking about those art projects, like the algorithmic Weimar. The AI in that, it's basically programmed to lie and manipulate.
Yeah.
But what if it became conscious?
Yeah.
Could we blame it for doing what it was made to do?
Right. Or is it just a tool?
Yeah.
Like, are the creators really the ones responsible?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And it makes me think, like,
yeah,
if we're making AI in our image, you know, with all our flaws and biases, what does that say about us?
Exactly. It's like those art projects are holding up a mirror.
Yeah.
Not just to AI.
Right.
But to all of humanity.
Okay. So where does that leave us? If AI is this reflection of ourselves. How do we make sure it reflects the best of us, not the worst?
I think it starts with being aware. like
Right.
knowing our own biases,
Yeah.
being critical of the information we're getting,
Right.
and making sure that people creating these technologies are being transparent.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
And maybe like using our imaginations more,
Correct.
Like those artists did, thinking about those what if questions
exactly
before they become real problems.
Because the story of AI, it's still being written, you know, and we all have a part in how it ends.
So to everyone listening out there, remember, AI, it's more than just code, you know, it's a mirror. It's showing us our hopes, our fears, all of it. And as we go deeper into this world, the most important question we can ask is what kind of future do we want to see in that reflection?
It's up to us to decide.
That's it for your deep dive. Hopefully you're walking away with more questions than answers.
Always a good thing.
And a little more curious about AI. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.